Downed. It's not even the original crew anymore. We're down to a me and a continue. We are back. If you're watching this on YouTube, it may be more jank than usual because we don't have our director, Josh, who has all the things. I'm still recording it, and we'll put it on YouTube regardless, but we're here. Ken, how the fuck are you?
Yes, sir. I am fabulous. How are you?
It's been one of those days, man. It's like it hasn't stopped. I've been like, I went paddleboarding, took Zelda paddleboarding, and then went and did a Sam's Club run for my adventures into the woods this week for my 40th birthday. And then
happy early birthday.
When this comes out, it'll be, it's your birthday. That's like, man, Jeff Goldblum in Thor Ragnarok is so wonderful.
Can I please, since first of all, since you won't probably be around on your birthday, and second of all, since people that listen to the podcast probably have never experienced this,
Ken,
I'm going to wish you happy birthday now.
You may do that with your I'm going to describe this for anyone who's just listening to audio. Ken puts her mouth stretcher in and then is going to play her thing with her nose. It is quite wonderful. So proceed.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ron. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
It's wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank you.
You're an all-star.
I applied for Juilliard with that, apparently. I was too good for Juilliard.
There's nothing we could teach you. You have mastered all arts of performing, and you just need to go into the world and become the next, like, I don't know, mega superstar actor. And Ken was like,
yes,
I don't want that on my conscience, and I'm gonna go do other things.
Yeah, I didn't want to take away from the normal people, so
she was,
I've decided to hide in this
with her very, very large cat watching from behind.
Yes. He's very upset because he feels that he should have food in his bowl because he can see the bottom. He also would like to go outside, and he probably needs to poop for the sixth time and make the whole house stink.
I mean, I have friends bulldogs who clear out rooms, but man, there's something about cat turds that just make you go, why do we keep these things in our houses? Oh yeah, because they're cool most of the time, but fuck.
I'm sure it was just a coincidence, but I have an air purifier. I have a large air purifier that I had out here, but I've moved it into my bedroom because, anyway, and then I have a small one in there, and the large one is in my bedroom. It's kind of close to their cat box. And like I said, I'm sure it's a coincidence, but I have yet to see that thing go above 24. It stays at 6 to 8, which is really good. And again, probably just a coincidence because there's no way that this is actually how this works, but I walked in today. And he had just finished pooping, so it could have been the dust, it could have been anything, but it's not that close to the cat box.
Yeah.
It smelled like death, and the air quality on the air purifier was 40, and I was like, that's still not really anything to be concerned about, but like, is that a thing? Like, did that just happen? And I checked it later, and it was fine, but the room didn't stink either, so like, I don't know.
So but it's like putting a baby diaper filled with like shit and like dead carcasses and then like lighting it on fire and going, how's the air? Oh, so it's funny because like whenever Denver is usually pretty good with that shit, but like as more people have gotten here, it's been more, but like more bad, I should say, which isn't proper English, but here we are and I'm going with it.
It more battered.
More bad. I was going to say more something, and then I just said bad, and here we are. But when you get wildfires, like, the air quality just goes, like, and, like, whatever air quality and fires that were, like, in Canada or whatever was happening earlier this year, it was, like, the air quality was so bad, they were, like, we were, like, a top 10 worst air quality city in the whole, like, country or the world or something like that. I'm, like, doing it right. If you're going to commit to something, do it right, Ken.
Listen, I try real hard. Gonna go hard. Gonna go ham.
And I'll
Oh, no, go ahead.
All you reminded me now of, I was watching one of this guy I really like who also Twitch streams. His name's Finn McKinley, and he does he was watching videos of Gen Zers listen to Linkin Park for the first time. And
it was
kind of wonderful, but it was. And then he went. I saw another video where he watched these same kids watch Limp Bizkit, and most of the kids were terrified, but this young girl was like in love with Fred Durst and everything like that. And I'm just like, you say you're in love with Fred Durst, but have you seen the movie The Fanatic? Because if you haven't, Finn was talking about how good of a director he was. I was like, you haven't seen The Fanatic. Because, wow, what a movie. It's one of my favorite bad movies ever made, to be completely honest. But here we are. How is your weekend going, Ken? We're doing this really early because I'm going off into the adventures of the wilderness for 3 days. How's your weekend going?
It's going really good. Last night we sat in my Discord and we hung out and we... you know, all pulled up individual viewings of this movie as well as another movie and discussed them at the same time. So first we watched Cobweb. So good. We may need to talk about that at some point. The guy who plays Homelander is
Is he?
As well as, I can never remember her name, but she's the girl who played Janice in Mean Girls, and she was in Castle Rock, and she's phenomenal. She's in so much stuff. She's in it. There's some really great quality hitters in it. It's very good. So I really enjoyed it. But we watched that. And then we watched this together as a community. And everybody's reaction to it was great. It always is. But I do enjoy doing it like that when I can, because I like to get people's insight on things. But I will say, without spoiling anything further about the movie, I will say that I had multiple people tell me when I was like, hey, what did you think? Let me get your insight. What did you see? What did you feel? They were like, it's going to take at least a week to process, if not longer. And I was like, valid. So, but that went really well. I've been listening to an absolute disgusting amount of Last Podcast on the Left. I spent a good few days diving into the troubled teen industry and learning about the cult origins that it stemmed from, which were really interesting. Side note, did you know that in normal parts of the world, not the U.S., that people don't know what the troubled teen industry is? They also don't know about any cults and, like... I guess this just, are cults just typically a U.S. thing? I've never really looked into it, but the more that I learn about cults, the more I'm like, are these just a U.S. thing?
Well, you think about it, like, Johannesburg, that whole thing was a bunch of Americans who had moved there, right? Like all that stuff with, that they turned into that movie, The Ritual, not The Ritual, what the fuck was that called? The one where they had Vice on it and everything like that, where Eli Roth basically made it, the Jonestown murders and everything like that, or suicide, whatever the fuck it was, with the Kool-Aid and all that shit.
Oh, yeah, Jonestown.
They made the movie, Eli Roth made the movie, which was the same exact fucking thing, they just didn't call it that. But I think they were all Americans who had moved there, too, so I don't know, man, we're a fucking...
Yeah, I mean... Jonestown itself was primarily Americans that had been following a particular individual whose name suddenly just escaped my mind. And I feel so stupid for not being able to remember it with how much cult stuff I know. But they followed him and they were out of the U.S. when it occurred. But apparently most people outside of the U.S. don't know a lot about cults. So,
I wonder, though, is that a freedom thing? Like other governments and shit like that put a stomp on that, like, real quick? Because I feel like places like Britain and shit have cults too, but, like...
They have to, right? I mean, religion as itself, please do not lose your head gasket, all right? Just calm the fuck down, all right? But a lot of religions do go down a culty path.
Scientology. And link. Scientology.
Oh, great. Well, now we're all gonna die. Thanks a lot, Rod. But... But yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's a religion is a culture, and you know, you can say different things about it. And it does get, especially if you get in like to the LDS and you get into all that kind of stuff, like, yeah, there's a lot of cult ties. So I do wonder if, like in Britain, there has to be cults, right? So like now I'm on this quest. Now I just put myself on my own quest. I'm going to research this and I will get back to you because I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
Who, I mean, you think about it, America has like murder as a like is one of the top things, but we're not as good at it as other places like, you know, Russia. They just do it in different ways.
Yeah.
We let our citizens just murder everyone and the police, but that's, but yeah, it's, I don't know, man. It's you start a whole nation by a bunch of people who are like so bonkers religious that they get kicked out of whatever country they live in because they're like, oh, you guys are a little wacko for us. So you need to get the fuck out of here. And then you base a whole country on that, and then you build it off of slavery and all the other things that we've done and built the country off of. And 250 years later, you have what we are now, almost like, you know, we're getting, what, almost close to 300 years. It's like 300 years of murder and death and exploitation, and you just go, okay. This is why we are. I mean, it's like, that's why when you watch The Witch and you're like, how crazy fanatical were these motherfuckers that they got kicked out of like the Puritan? Like, they were like the Puritans who got kicked out of Europe were like, hey, you guys are a little extreme. You need to get the fuck out of here. It's like, you know how nuts you are to get kicked out by like these motherfuckers that are like kicked out of wherever they're from? And it's just like, it's all insanity. But yes, religion and cults and fanatics, we are very good at it. I mean, it is a thing that happens a lot here, right?
Yep. Sorry, tell us about what you've been doing while I swap out my headphone battery.
Well, Ken, I went and saw Blue Beetle yesterday, which it sounds like no one else has done because Blue Beetle, according to what I was reading on the internet today, is tracking to open at a smaller box office gross than Morbius, which is a fucking insane thing to hear out loud because Morbius is one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and Blue Beetle is a lot of fun. And so if you're listening...
So you did see Blue Beetle?
Yeah, I saw it yesterday and had a blast with it. George Lopez is awesome. The main character, I can't think of the guy's kid's name, did a really, really good job, and just it was a fun movie. Like, I know that like The Flash bombed real hard, and there's a lot of factors to that that you go,
yeah.
But like, I understand that Blue Beetle. The problem with that movie is that it comes out as with a character that nobody knows who the fuck he is.
Yeah,
and then two. The whole like DC like thing with James Gunn and all that and all the fucking terrible movies that they've put out. It's just like we tune all that stuff and then you combine it with Marvel kind of like shooting themselves in the foot with like overproducing stuff. It just wasn't a good, you know, set of like a scenario for this movie. And it sucks because this movie was originally supposed to be just a streaming on HBO Max when it was HBO Max. And now it's out in theaters, and people aren't going to see it. And it's a fucking fun movie. I don't know, man. When you see all these people going to see, I mean, you go see all the other Marvel movies in DC and everything like that, and you're like, well, go see things that aren't just, I don't know. It seems like these kind of characters do better on the small screen, right? Like we had just Invincible, which I don't. Did you watch Invincible?
Invincible, as in like. Unbreakable and Glass.
No, it's the one on it's on Amazon Prime, but it's by the same guy who did the Walking Dead comics. It's animated. It's like a cartoon, but it is.
I have not.
It is fucking hardcore like violence. It's kind of like The Boys, but like on to like an animated show kind of, which The Boys have their animated spinoffs, but like stuff like that. Like The Boys is another thing.
I love The Boys.
I do too. Is it So you said you saw the cobweb. Is it weird, by the way, seeing Homelander in non-Homelander things? And I'm assuming he's like the dad in that movie because I know there's a kid in it. So
he is the dad in that movie. Him with dark hair, because his hair is brown. It's like a very dark chestnut brown. Ooh.
It's kind of
so attractive. But yes, he does. He plays the character very well. I don't want to go too far into it because I could spoil one way or the other. It was great. And I was telling everybody, like, I really wish he was in more stuff. Mm-hmm. Because he's in stuff, but he's not in a lot of stuff. Yeah. But I feel like that whole group, like, at first when you're watching it, you're probably going to look at one of the characters and be like, this acting is awful. But then as you watch, you're like, no, this makes perfect sense. Yeah. So, yeah, no, it was great seeing him in it. I think the little boy that's in it, he's going to go far. I hope he goes far. Yeah. I'm going to be completely honest with you, and I think I said this when we did our talk about Knock on the Cabin, that the little girl that was the actress, you know, kids are learning, kids are growing, they're going to develop. If you put her and that little boy in a room side by side and had them act off, that boy would destroy her. He was amazing. Yeah. Like, granted, she was great too, so please don't. I'm not bashing her. I'm just saying in comparison. Yeah. Okay, it sounds like I'm bashing her. I'm not. He was a good little actor is what I'm trying to get at. I was just using her as an example.
It's funny because you have like, well, it's, I mean, you have star actors as little kids and then they turn into Shiloh LaBeouf, like, right? But kids can be really good actors. I mean, Haley Joel Osment.
You can't talk too much shit about Shia LaBeouf because he got to bang Mia Goth enough to put a baby in her, okay?
I did not know that happened. Boom. And those two were...
Yeah, they were married.
I did not know that. Wow. That's the thing where it would be like they would wake up every day and be like, okay, which one of us is going to be crazier today? Shiloh! I mean, because I was watching...
I think that he would have her beat all the time.
Dude, the thing with that, I watched a video today on YouTube, and it was like the 10 things in like actors did that no one noticed. Do you know the shit he did for that Fury movie he did? Like, he like joined the National Guard and like pulled one of his own teeth out for that. Like, he went fucking hard to the paint, man. Shia is, he is.
Method acting is so weird to me. I mean, I guess that's why I'm not an actor, but like.
Dude, I also think that, like, being ADHD and method acting are too much. It's a thing where you're sitting there going, yeah, I like the idea. And, like, I think even as an ADHD person, like, you're sitting there going, like, you're doing a TTRPG or something like that. You know, you're, like, you're doing Dungeons & Dragons or stuff like that. It can be a lot for you to, like, focus. Like, motherfuckers can, like, method act 24/7 for months, you know. It's just like, nah, I'm good, man. I'm good.
Yeah. I can't even, like, that's my problem. Whenever I try to tell people why I don't do, like, Dungeons & Dragons and stuff like that, I'm like, these sessions last for, like, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 hours. And I'm like, dude, an hour is pushing it for me. Like, especially if you want to hold my attention, because I understand that it takes time to, like, develop the story and create and, like, you know, you need to get into the space each time. But, like, I watch Critical Role every now and then, not very often, but on occasion. And I'll sit there and I'm like, well, first of all, it would help if I knew what was going on. But second of all, like, there's no way. Yeah. Like, it's just like if I'm playing, like, there's a llama card game that's kind of like Exploding Kittens, but it's not. It's like it's Unstable Unicorns is what I'm thinking of. I can't keep track of it because you've got to remember your cards, his cards, her cards, their cards, you know, and you're just like, I don't know how people, like, you'll have a group of 10 people playing this game and everybody's like, well, I'm going to play this because your card does this, which then affects this. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? I don't know how I put on my shoes this morning.
Yep, I understand. I'm doing...
But I can tell you the quadratic equation. Like, I don't know what you want from me at this point. But it's so cool. And people who play D&D are very talented and very intelligent and very creative. I don't have the attention span. I do love what comes from a lot of D&D. There's so much cool stuff out there. I don't have the attention span.
Yeah, I do. I have to push myself. And if I don't have like Adderall in me when I do something like that, it could be a nightmare. So it's like a cross my fingers and just like put my phone away and just.
It's a roll of the dice.
As everyone plays Baldur's Gate 3 and just gets evaporated by their time. Oh, Ken, before we get into it, we both started Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. Or the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the video game. Why did I say 3? God damn, my brain, man. It's been a long fucking day.
Because you said Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, I think so. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the video game came out, and we tried to play together. I figured out after you and I played it, I had a issue with, like, it didn't like my VR headset being plugged in. But I don't know, man. I'm playing it and enjoying it. I didn't get to play all that much. I need to dive back in because I've had no time. But the game's fun. Like, it's unique. And I think that, like, what I like about it is some of the stuff that I think is going to stop the more toxic environment of DBD.
Yeah, all the griefing
and
everything.
Yeah, well, it's the 1v4 thing in that game that makes it, like, these people are just, like, get all angry. And I think if you're like on a team, it makes it better. Right. And so
yeah.
I think Gun Media did a really good job. My buddy Andy works over there. He gave me a code. I was like, yes. So I got to stream that a little bit, but like, I think that we both had the launch date issues when we were trying to play it. And it was just like,
yeah. And for me, like the technical test was so good. I love Texas Chainsaw Massacre at this moment. We tried to play. It was funny because I kept saying, like, are you playing this on VR? What are you doing? Because it would, like, show up that you were in VR. But I didn't get to play as much as I was hoping to because when we did the tech test, I mean, we played, like, nonstop hard. But when the servers were having issues, which I personally fully anticipate, I think that – and I know that a lot of people will give me grief for this, and that's okay. But I think that at this point in time in the year that we're in, it is – I personally don't ever expect a game to come out and be perfect on launch. And part of that is because people are always like, oh, you know, we didn't have this problem. Okay, yeah, we did. But also, we're in an age where information is shared like instantly. So if there's a bug and one person sees it, then somebody else is going to be like, oh, yeah, I think I have that. Oh, that's not part of the game. And the next thing you know, you've got a game that's being downvoted to oblivion. Because of a bug, right? So I think that there's, especially when it comes to multiplayer games, I don't think people understand truly what it is like to spin up servers for a launch day for people to play a game, knowing that after a week, 2 weeks, a month, that interest is going to just completely wean down. And then you've got to figure out how many servers to allocate from there. Yep. I mean, New World suffered from the same thing. Like, they went from a gajillion servers to, like, 7, you know? It's just how it is. So, for me, I expected bugs. I expected server issues. They happened. I moved on with my life. It's fine. And then in a few weeks, I'll probably come back to it. I'm going to play off stream. I've got friends who don't want to be featured on stream that play. And I want to play with them, but I'm not probably going to stream it just right now just because there's a lot going on. And I think
you got Starfield coming up.
Yeah.
No, it's
I got Starfield coming up, baby.
I think that like all the issues we had were just like normal launch day stuff. Like I think that
absolutely.
I think that the game runs smoothly. It's just getting in and just which is and the fucking game's on Game Pass. So bunches of people are playing it. You know, that like everything they've done with that game, Gun is really an impressive team. And, like, dude, the guy Wes who runs that gun is fucking like he only makes his people work 4 days a week. He doesn't like run people to the ground. He's a good dude, it seems like. So
he's working like they worked really hard on copyright stuff. And now streamers that were streaming Texas Chainsaw Massacre on TikTok, we're getting DMCAs and getting shut down like immediately. So he did a call to or like did a public post to TikTok and he's done all kinds of other stuff to be like, yo, stop. Yep. Like, what are you doing? because I have Texas Chainsaw Massacre content on TikTok that did not get pulled down, but I think it was only on live footage. But he does a great job. Yeah. I loved Radical Heights. He worked on Radical Heights. He's done a ton of stuff. They did Friday the 13th. Yeah. They've worked on all kinds of stuff. I think he's great. I know a lot of people had issues with him at one point, and that's fine. But I'm also a firm believer in things happen in the past, and as long as you're not hurting anyone, like physically or, you know, emotionally or whatever the case may be, then, you know, let's move on and, yep, you know, figure stuff out. And then also people grow and they learn. And anyway, I wish Radical Heights would come back. It could stay in the same position it was in. If you did not play Radical Heights, look it up. See what you can find. That game was gold.
I never played
it
that.
Wasn't finished. Yeah. It wasn't polished. It was broken all to shit. It was like an 80s style PUBG. It was so good. Bring back Radical Heights.
Okay. With that, we're going to dive in to Mother May I, which is from 2023. And it was the movie we watched this week. So Ken and I dove into this. And let's do a quick recap of the synopsis. I will read it from IMDb. And it reads as follows. When Anya starts behaving like her fiancé's recently deceased mother, Emmett must confront his deepest traumas to free his fiancé from this bewildering possession. I have to say, man, this movie is, I go off all the time about step porn because there's something with it that just like fucking creeps me the fuck out. Growing up with sisters and all this shit, and the mother fetish stuff, like whatever that was like in this movie, is just like, I'm like, like, it's funny because like this movie isn't like overtly like terrifying. It's like more like themes, right? And this movie's a ride. It's a fucking ride. What was your initial like take on this, Ken?
So I had a few different takes, but number one, I'm gonna start off with the fact that I'm really mad Josh isn't here. Okay. Because when we watched Mother, he was distracted and he was like, this isn't scary.
Yep.
It would be scary if I didn't know what it was about. I watched this and I was like, okay, there's like two jump scares. This isn't scary. Now, granted, it is thriller. But like, but I did have other people that were like, oh my God, that was so scary. Josh! I miss you, dude. I hope you feel better. Anyway, no, my first thought was immediately we were all like, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation because I never seem to be able to do it, but the Oedipus complex. Yeah. Like, as soon as this like started, we were all like, oh, hello. I was very... They did such a great job, in my opinion, of making her, as in the girlfriend, seeming sort of unhinged, and then hinged, then possessed, then normal, then whoa, okay, I guess. And then they did a really good job with him, too, as far as, like, I feel like the pacing was good. It was slow. Yeah. It was very slow, and it was a very slow burn. But I felt the pacing was good. I mean, I enjoyed it, and it does make you kind of question a lot. Yeah.
It's you said while we were talking about it before we started recording that like this is a movie that you'll probably think about for a while because the ending is out there. Like the ending, you're just like, what? They also fuck with you in this film with the goddamn the needles. They never tell you what the fucking needles are, and the needles keep coming back, and that's, like, the last scene of the movie is, like, the needle. And you're just like, what is going on?
What we figured was that it was some type of tranquilizer that she had used on him as a child. And when I was looking stuff up about the film after the fact, people were talking about, that it was a tranquilizer. And then they also said that perhaps he had developed an addiction to it as a child. And so once he had been re-exposed to it, that's kind of why everything just kind of imploded more. Yeah. But I think that probably would have happened regardless.
Well, the thing about this movie is, and that's like really, really odd, is it like hints things, but never like it's it's very much kind of like a psychological thriller that like hints at tones of horror at times, right? Where like you talked about it, there's a couple scenes in this movie where you just see shit in the background, like that you don't really clearly get an idea of what's going on. This movie is not like, oh, I'm going to jump scare you into it. It's like, I'm going to make you feel uneasy and creepy for 90 minutes and
just uncomfortable. Yeah. Now, there are scary moments. Like, there's a scene in the basement that's very unnerving. Yeah. And scary, like it's very scary. And then there are, like you mentioned, times when things are just kind of like you're like, wait, what? Why is that floating around through the air, kind of thing? Yep. But I think that personally, I did think it was, you can consider it horror. That's fine, yep. Like absolutely. But I just wanted to give Josh a hard time, and since he's not here, then...
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that's why I said that. It's got this psychological thriller kind of thing where you're like, dude, I have to say, man, fucking, what's her name? Holland Roden played Anya. Because this whole movie is basically Anya and Emmett, right? Who's Emmett's played by Kyle Gallner, who we've talked about in a couple things. He was in Scream 5, and he was in Smile. He was the cop in Smile. But Anya Holland Roden, man, she does such a fucking great job of like playing like herself and then like possessed by Mother, because she does that thing where she like kind of like what, like a quarter of the way into the movie switches off into this like portraying the mother. And you're like, what kind of mushrooms did these motherfuckers take? that's another thing about this film is it's like you're certainly going, are they going anti-drugs? Are they like, this movie does not give you answers in a lot of ways, right? Like you don't ever truly figure out if there's something like supernatural going on. Or is it like
two broken people that have hit a wall and have kind of like seen something within each other?
Yeah.
More her seeing it inside of him. Because, I mean, she was broken. Yeah. She like there wasn't, you know, initially you don't really feel it other than she does do some kind of like weird stuff. But you're like, all right, no, this girl was broken. And not in, and again, not in a way that, like, we're not aware of any, like, physical violence against her. We're not even really necessarily aware of any emotional violence towards her other than maybe some emotional neglect from her mother. But she's broken. Yeah. And you can tell. He is just in pieces. Yeah. Like, boy is shattered, like, dust on the floor at this point. But he does a good job of trying to hide it. So, I mean, it's very possible that their brokenness just broke them even more and they got swept up together like a pile of, you know, dust. Yeah.
I really think that you take the scene in this film where he's like, don't leave me. And it's after he thinks it's his mother. That's just like, you're just like, all right, then. Yeah. But no, it's like, the thing is, like, you get him, like, who you don't know, like, you figure out during the film that he doesn't remember his childhood or doesn't remember a lot of his childhood between, like, the neighbor who goes off about his ankle or his foot, like, where he broke his ankle, right? And, like, he doesn't even remember it. And then with her, it's like, you're not quite sure. It kind of reminds me of if you ever watch Big Bang Theory, where Leonard is like his mother is a psychologist and like so she fucks with him. It kind of seems like that, but like in not a comedy way. Like it's like this chick's mother was a psychologist who put a lot of pressure on her, and then like when she decided she wasn't like, oh, you're whatever you are, and then like just moved on from her own daughter. You're like, oh, and because that, I have to say, man, that fucking game they play, fuck that. The like, let's. So if you've never seen this movie, or don't know what we're talking about, there's a game they play, I don't even know, is game is not really the right word for it. It's exercise a better word for it?
Yeah, I'd say it's like kind of a type of couples therapy, or not even couples therapy, but like a self evaluation while having other input.
Yeah. But they do this thing where they go, okay, we're going to do this now. And they put 60 seconds on this little clock and they go, okay. They kind of go back and forth with each other. But then after the 60 seconds is up, whoever was like, you know, interviewing the other person, they switch seats. And like, so Emmett is sitting there in the first like time. And then they like switch off and Anya and Emmett, and Anya's Emmett and Emmett's Anya. And it's like,
so basically what it does is that you are asking questions of the person across from you. Then when that person comes across, they're kind of, you know what? I thought I could do it better and I did not. So basically you're interviewing yourself is how it works out in the long run. So you're asked, so they're asking you tough questions. You're answering said tough questions. And then when it's your turn to go around, you're diving deeper into those questions that they asked you by projecting out as a third person, kind of.
You're basically.
And when they first started, I was like, oh, this is really interesting. This could be really helpful. And then I was like,
I think it's the last time they do it where Emmett is just fucking like he ends up being Anya in the setup. And he's just he just fucking roasts this woman. And you're just like, what the, because that's kind of like, it's kind of like the lore dump for Anya's character at that point where, because it, Anya's kind of like, she's the main character, but it's really Emmett's the main character. And Emmett goes hard on this girl and you're just like, oh, okay. I kind of get it, but like, holy shit, dude, you're supposed to be marrying this woman. And you said it, these characters are both fucking broken. And the big thing that goes out through most of the movie is that they're trying to have a kid. They're not married, they're fiancés. And you're like,
she doesn't have a job.
Yeah.
She's a copywriter, so I guess she has that job. But she wants to be a poet, but she's not doing anything that's going anywhere. Do they ever say what he does? I don't think they ever say what he does.
He only says that he's on his feet all day, basically, is like his only reference. And I think that's mostly when he's in the car with the neighbor guy who tried to bang his mom.
Numerous times.
Yeah, they don't really say what he does. That house, dude. So they, like, his mother.
Oh my god, that house.
It looks like they turned a like an old barn into a house, and it's fucking gorgeous because it's like this giant open space place with this huge fucking fireplace like right in the center of it. But it's like that open design because it was a barn. It looks like that they just turned, and it's like, how
exposed beams and just beautifully laid out, and it had like the perfect amount of greenery with inside, and it was just beautiful.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
Beautiful.
It was
a great backdrop for that,
especially like these young kids who are like this young married couple who's or gonna be married couple, and they're supposed to be like, you know, escaping New York City, and it's just like they're on this farm, and man, it is. I was like, I would live in that fucking place in a heartbeat. I said, like,
oh yeah.
I'm like, you know, New York City seems like one of those places where you're like, oh, this would be great. And then you're like, oh, this is awesome for like 6 months. And then you're like, now I have to deal with 8 billion people living here with me and all this stuff. And you're just like, nah, I'm good. Nah, I'm good. No, but the house is great. They don't ever say what he does. It's weird. You're like, it seems they live in New York City, and you're like, so he's whatever he's doing, and she's like, just living on this.
It reminds me of those property hunting shows where they're like, well, what do you do? I'm a teacher. And what do you do? I collect postage stamps, and we have a house budget of $2.5 million. And they're like, oh, that's kind of low on this end of town. You'll be lucky to find anything. Oh, I hope we can. It's kind of like that.
You know what's weird about all that is it's one of the only things that I think kind of makes me giggle with this film. It's like they have the realtor character, and I don't know why they had the realtor character besides the scene where she where Anya turns into her mother, his mother. And just for her to be a cunt to her, basically. it's that. And the real tear, you kept seeing that the other kind of running joke in the film is she keeps driving by the realtor coming to the house. But you're like, oh, okay. This film has, I think that the other dude, the guy who's Bill, has the most screen time besides the other two, and he's just but more of a, oh yeah, your mother was a lady. You know,
your mother was a lady and she beat the shit out of you, but we forgive her. I mean, that's basically what was said. And also, jumping back to how broken these kids are, he finds an ultrasound in her bag and assumes that because it's an ultrasound that she's pregnant and that she's doing all this awful stuff while she's pregnant, never once asking her and just being like, the mother of my child is doing shrooms and drinking. How dare she? And she's like, dude, I can't have a baby. This is showing that I cannot have a child. And he's like,
but to be fair, that particular moment in the film, his fiance is also completely acting like his mother and is that's the thing that's running through this thing is the whole section where she's doing this. It's like you're like, oh, she messing with him because she will, you know, push stuff with him and did all the stuff, but the final way they kind of push it into the audience is minds that no, this was really a possession. It was the whole swimming thing. So there's
the swimming thing and the earrings.
The earrings were like, oh, this bitch could have been crazy. But the swimming thing was supposed to be, I feel like the swimming thing was supposed to be the ultimate proof that his mother had taken over this woman. And the weird,
it was such a, she's a witch. If she's not a witch, she'll drown. If she's a witch, she'll float.
What is with the mask? There's the mask that I'm wondering what
I think I can tell you where that's from. So this is technically a follow-up of a 2015 movie called Vera by the same writer and director. Okay. And it's very not heard of, basically. Yeah. I was going to try to watch it before we recorded, but honestly, I forgot. And I think that the mask probably comes from somewhere within that based on what I gathered. This is just purely context clues. I did not look up anything on the mask, but I'm pretty sure it stems from that and from her time as a dancer or whatever. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's where it stems from.
The thing is that all the shit with the possession and or potential possession and all the stuff of her acting like his mother all kind of correlate to after she breaks this mask, right? And so it's mm-hmm. So you start wondering, and then she fixes the mask after she so it's that weird thing where it's what is this mask? That's why I said earlier, it's this movie kind of never answers all of its own questions, right? It's it uses all the horror elements as really more as a character study of these two really extremely broken people. It's more about these two that at the end of the movie, let's be real. They're he needs a mother and she needs to be a mother. So that's their ultimate, she's she's going to go full in on being his mother and he's going to go full in on whatever because now he gets a mother. And it's just
it's very weird. And I know that relationships like that exist both on a parasocial level, on a platonic level, mm-hmm. And on sexual levels. I know that they exist. It's just, for me, not shaming anything, that is so odd. And that's, you know, obviously why it's there. It's to make us uncomfortable. It's to make the audience uncomfortable. Yeah. But it's just very... It's just very odd. But I mean, it also does kind of speak to this whole concept that a lot of guys, and I mean, girls do the same thing with their daddy issues. Ooh, woo, Josh, daddy, ooh, woo. But there is this whole thing that like a lot of guys, and again, not all guys, do the like, you know, they get to this point where they almost want to marry their mothers because they want someone to cook for them. They want someone to clean for them. They want someone to teach them how to do things and be there for them and love them unconditionally, even when they make mistakes, which, okay, but, you know, because, like, in the beginning, they're, like, just eating bagels or whatever, and then she makes him breakfast for a few days in a row, and then whenever she kind of goes back to herself and he's like, you know, do you want to make some breakfast? She's like, what the fuck? Go make your own breakfast. Like, who the fuck are you? I think that kind of speaks volumes, and that whole end scene is so, it's so haunting in the sense that it does make us uncomfortable, but there's also the whole syringe aspect. She is holding a syringe behind him while she's holding him, and it does also, like, going back to something else, sorry, I'm very verbose this evening, going back to when they were like, when he was holding her and saying please don't go, like all that, like before that moment, back when they were like laying in the bed, that was definitely a mother-son moment. There was nothing sexual there. And then as soon as she started coming out of it, he did not want anything to do with her sexually. Yeah. Was just not with it. So, yeah, they're very broken and very...
You know, it kind of reminds me of Old Boy ways, right? Like at the end where it's like he decides that he's going to... I don't know about the American in the original. He's like, just hypnotize me and get me out of this and just make me happy, even though the situation's fucked up. And it's like, these two seem like they fully embrace the, we're both fucked up. And this is kind of what we both like. It's that thing is like, it's almost like this movie's going, just admit what you need as a individual, as a human being, right? Like he needs a mother and she needs to have a kid. And it's just like, just admit it. And even though it comes off as super unhealthy, I mean, the mother was she got the kid, he got taken away from her. She was so negligent. Like she was a negligent mother enough that the state.
And she was hitting him too. He was covered in bruises, but she was very negligent.
She ignored him basically. It was like she didn't want to be a mother. It was like she had that biological instinct to be a mother, and like it sounded like she
it's really interesting because they do this whole it's utilized numerous times throughout the movie, especially when it comes to Anya, where they're like, where she'll say, I don't want to have a baby, I need to have a baby. And for her, and it's the same, oh, Lord, here we go. It's the same pressure that's put on women all the time in society. You know, like, I'm 30-something, and, you know, growing up, I wanted to be a mom. And then as I got older, you know, the situation didn't really work out for that. And you get asked, like, from your early 20s until about now, people ask you all the time, what do you mean you don't have any kids? What do you mean you don't want kids? Like, when are you going to start having kids? What do you mean you're not this? What do you mean you're not that? Have children. You have to have children. Why don't you want children? I just watched a movie called The Clock that was about that. Yeah. That was a horror movie that was great in that regard. And I feel like this movie does a really good job of kind of emphasizing that society creates this pressure on women that we have to have children. So then we feel that we need to have a child, even if we're not equipped, whether it be financially, mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever the case may be, to have said child. But they put all this pressure on us to where we feel like we're not enough without a child. And at one point she's talking about, you know, like, oh, I'm a failed poet. I can't do anything. Like I'm mediocre at best. I need a child. Bitch, no, you don't need a child. Calm the fuck down. Sit down. Like, and I wish that more people would kind of remember that when it comes to kids. Like, you don't need a kid, okay?
I mean,
if you want a kid, that's one thing. You do not need a child.
I mean, that's the whole premise of Idiocracy, which why I say all the time is the scariest movie ever made. Because when it was made, it wasn't as realistic as it is now. But, like, it's that thing where it's, like, just having kids because you have sex or whatever just doesn't equal good times. I mean, that was the thing. Like, fucking Emmett was neglected because his mother had a kid because she thought she needed to have a kid. And needed, not wanted, needed. And then she...
Yeah, she says that explicitly in her journal numerous times.
Yeah, and then what happened? She had a kid and then couldn't take care of it mentally, didn't have the mental... You know, state, like, the kid was, like, less important than her writing, her dancing. She was a ballerina or something like that. And because of all that, he gets taken away. And then he doesn't know that. And he's fucked up as an adult because he doesn't know why. He thought his mother gave him away. Didn't realize the state took him away from her because she was so fucking negligent, man. And that goes back to the statements of... Like, when he first meets Bill, he's like, Bill's talking about, because Bill is the one who took him to the hospital the night that he got taken away from his mother, because he, like, found the kid, or I think whatever, or the kid, Emmett, showed up at his house and had a broken ankle and, like, was cold and shit like that, and his mother didn't have the facilities to, like, you know, take care of this kid, and because of it, he gets taken away, and then... it seems like from the film, that was like the last those two ever interacted, because then she dies and leaves him the house, but like they never saw each other again. And he didn't know that he thought she gave him up, but no, he got taken away because this woman couldn't take care of a kid. And it's that thing where it's like, I think it's one of those messages of this film is like, don't have kids if you because you think you need to, like, socially pressured or whatever. But it's true, Ken. It's like we have this society where, like, people just assume, why don't you have kids? Like, and it's a thing where people go and ask that, even though that question is a very painful question for a lot of people.
It's a very painful question for a lot of reasons. Yeah. I mean, it can be like, for instance, I'm relatively open about this. My concerns with having a child myself, like a biological child, are that I have a lupus gene. The particular lupus gene I have years ago would make it very difficult for a woman to be able to have a child. Typically, people with the type of lupus gene I have suffer many miscarriages. They go through a lot of pain, and there's a lot of problems that can stem from that when trying to conceive. Yep. The second thing being that I know that I'm bipolar. I know that I have a lot of mental health issues, and I don't know necessarily if I want to bring someone in that's going to deal with that. I'm not saying anything badly about anybody who does. Please do not take it that way. That's
it's
just
your
my own
personal
thing.
Your opinion on passing on that.
Yeah, and the third thing is that I remember when I was very young and I was house-sitting for a couple, they didn't have kids, and I asked them why, and they said, we're selfish. And I was like, what? And they were like, you don't have to have kids. We like doing what we like doing. We like going where we like going. We like eating. We like drinking. We like doing what we want. We're selfish, and that's okay, and we don't think that we should bring a child into our selfish environment and give up what we want when this is what we want. And that was when a light snapped in my head that I was like, oh, my God, I don't have to have a child. I don't have to go through that potential heartbreak of losing a child. I don't have to go through the pain and everything else. I was like, whoa, who knew? But I do think at least, and it's hard for me to say this because I am kind of shielded within my little internet bubble. I feel like people are getting better about it. Not so many people are randomly approaching and being like, oh, why don't you have kids or, you know, anything like that. But then again, the internet's vastly different than it is in the real world. So who knows? Yeah. You know, if I do know that, like, my aunt, for instance, when I was in Florida, was talking to me about it. And we did have a really good conversation about it. To the point that, like, she's very persuasive. But I'm not. But, she almost got me. I have to stay away from her. But, I mean, and this does kind of illustrate all of those feelings in the sense of the terminology I need a baby is used so many times. And it's the other facet being that people put that pressure on you claiming that, well, you're not going to have anyone when you die. You're not going to have anyone to live on your legacy or whatever. Who cares? Yep. Like, I'm not going to be able to afford to retire. So, like, what's it matter? You know, like.
I feel like humans, like, we put way too much pressure on legacy. We do way too mm-hmm. much with, like. I was just talking about this with Classic Katie when we were driving in the mountains last weekend. I was like, we're talking about graves. I think we were saying graves are fucking insane. Graves,
yes,
they're an insane thing. They take up so much space. You're embalming bodies for no fucking reason besides your own like inflated self-ego. Yeah, it's selfishness, man. And it's like we live on a planet that doesn't have enough room for everyone while the fucking rich are just taking what is there away from everyone else. And it's just like, why do you need a spot? Like, I feel like having a gravestone is like whatever. I think actually burying a body is fucking selfish. I think it is a act where your self-inflated ego is just fucking dumb. And it's just like all these things about how people, like, I just think self-importance is a thing that, and maybe that's for my own self-worth issues and transitioning into everything like that. But like, I just think that like people look at themselves as their entire universe instead of you just being a minuscule part of an existing universe, right? You are not the universe. You are not the main character of the universe. You are a minuscule minor player in the background of the universe. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I think people need to get over it. It's like that's the thing. Like when I get mad when I'm driving is I feel like people acting like they're more important than everyone else. And it's just like, I don't know. It's Ken, you and I both do this. We both put other people before ourselves on a regular basis. We're both people pleasers, and I think we don't understand that because we're people pleasers. But, like, yeah, it's one of those things that's just a weird aspect to me of how the human mind works when it comes to all that stuff.
I understand and respect that there are religious reasons why people feel compelled to be buried. I understand that, and I respect that. But I am with you. It is a massive drain on space. We've been talking about this. So like I've said for years, I just want to be cremated because it's cheap. Why? I don't give a shit. I'm not going to know if you're, you know, standing over my grave and crying. I don't care. Yep. Like I genuinely do not care, and I'm not going to care. So, I mean, again, maybe it'd be different if I had a child, you know, but even then I don't think it would be. Like I don't. With that being said though, the community has come up with a great option. Okay, so you've got your burial, you've got your cremation, or you've got what I'm going to call Ralph's Statue Fun of Paradise, okay? So before we go too far into Ralph's Statue Fun of Paradise, I did learn also today, because we were talking about cremation on stream, that which is actually not nearly the weirdest thing we talked about today. We also talked about panties for an extremely long period of time, and not in a sexual manner. We were discussing the fact that in some states you are required to purchase a particular type of casket, if not a regular casket, for the cremation to occur. Tennessee, however, you can just build a damn box. You can put them in a box that's combustible as long as it's in some type of box. So like you can put me in a cardboard box and stick me in the oven. Like I'm good, yeah. Right? Like there's no reason. So, and I was using the illustration from the movie where he's, you know, at this place, they want to cremate her. They're like trying to offer him all these fancy urns and shit. And he's just like, nah, just stick her in a box. What the fuck? And then he dumps her in. He's like, oh, she's fish food. This plastic is going to last longer than she will, you know? So back to Ralph's big, whatever the fuck I called it. We've all decided as a community that when we die, we would like to be made into statues. Just little statues, nothing like big or towering, but of different heights and things, not necessarily even depicting what we looked at or looked like. We want our ashes crushed into these, and then we want them hidden in random places throughout forests just to creep people out. Cover them with a little bit of dirt, you know, maybe get some like moss growing. Just They don't even need a name on them. It doesn't fucking matter. Just put them out there. They can be creepy little things that people can stumble across in the future. And then all of a sudden, all construction has to come to a halt because maybe there's a body buried here. We don't know. Blah, blah, blah. Unless we're the U.S., we're just going to go right over top of them. It's just a really fun idea that we have decided we're going to do. And then we also said, this was a follow-up, I did not sign on to this one, but I do like the idea behind it that we would all be buried or cremated, put in these statues, and then continuously added to a circle. And then we'll have a sign over the top of it that says jerks. Circle jerks.
All I could think of that whole time is that you're like basically becoming video game collectible items. Like you're...
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah, yeah. To get this achievement, collect 10 dead bodies that have been hidden in...
You get 10 statues. Oh, fuck, man. Oh, my belly. My belly. Yeah, I just think that like they... I think they're like analyzing a lot of very like weird social norms that like poking, because social norms are things that are acceptable at one time but don't always have to be acceptable, right? Like, and I think that a lot of the stuff with the mothers and the having kids and stuff like that, they're kind of going, is this really like necessary? And I think I see why this film has the Rotten Tomato scores it does, because it's very, it seems like it's like, you know, asking questions and stuff like that and doing stuff. And it's not, this wasn't The Nun, right? It's not doing generic jump scares and all that stuff. It's trying to like, you know, very much push life lessons. It kind of seems like, I think Kyle Gallner and Holland Roden both did awesome jobs in this movie. Holland Roden basically played two characters, right? She played Anya and then Anya being possessed, and the fucking creepy makeup and the creepy what is it about the cigarettes with lipstick that just make me go, ugh? You know, it's just like that. It's that, I don't know. It just feels like old Cruella de Vil type vibes, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it definitely is.
It's true. But man, I really do think that they did a good job of this film in doing like it's another very indie horror film that, because it's just one house for most of the film and just telling this very stylized, you know, message about or story and like what they're trying to tell with it. And I think they did a really good job. It's not a scary movie. It's more like a uneasy movie, like I said earlier. And they do that good. They do a really good job of that, especially towards like the last third of this movie. You start feeling like, yeah. And man, I will say I called it, but him taking her out into the boat, I was like, oh no, this motherfucker is going to try to drown this woman. And he fucking did, man. He's just, there's a South Park where Cartman's trying to kill Kyle. And he's like, takes him out on a boat and he starts hitting him over the head with a wiffle ball bat. And he's like, this may take a while. And he's just like hitting him repeatedly. And you just go, and that's what it kind of felt like, but like way more demented, because the running theme in the whole film is that Anya couldn't swim. And then when she's possessed, she swims. And then so he's like, oh, Anya couldn't swim, and pushes his fucking fiance into the fucking. And then they still end up together after that, because they're in their, they realize they had that fucked up codependency, right? But,
codependency, the name of the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what this movie is like code, like who's dependent on who and what will happen. And man, but. Movie's a ride, man, and it like, I don't know, man. The whole like mother stuff just is like, and I don't know, man. I have to ask if like, because I have a mother, like I don't say that what it is like, does having a mother that was around for your childhood, even with my mother's own issues, like, does that make all this shit like less, like, I don't know. Does it make it?
Yeah, maybe it hits home differently for us. Just how like. Mother hit for you and me different than it did, yeah. Josh, per se, like maybe because we did have very active mother figures in our lives, maybe this doesn't hit the same way that it would for someone who went through, you know, not having a mother, having gone through the system or whatever the case may be, maybe it hits different.
I think so. I think so, because it's like, it's that absentee mother of both the characters. Like, the Anya's mother had seemingly given up on her because she wasn't exceptional enough, right? And his mother got taken away from his mother, so I don't know. But man, I do think this movie deserves the praise it's getting, and I'm totally into it. This is not a movie I'd like go suggest to everyone, especially like people like, oh, I'm looking for a horror movie. But if you're like looking for a psychological thriller that has these horror elements like this does, and that like is kind of leaving a message about all the things that's in like about motherhood and codependency and all this stuff, I totally dug it. I mean, it kind of seems like you were on the same page with that, Ken.
Yeah.
I think it's worth a watch, man. I thought it was, I enjoyed it. It made me feel yucky a couple times, but I mean.
But I think that's what they're supposed to do, right? Like, they're supposed to make you feel, and if I like movies that make you feel yucky, because then you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yucky.
I feel like as long as the movie isn't boring me, being bored is the one emotion I never want in a movie. But like, just having a good time, enjoying laughter, all the things that you can get out of a movie, and I'm like, yeah, but like, boring will never be good with me. And this movie was, I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was a good time, man. I really did. So,
Like I said, slow burn for a bit, but.
It does a lot, and it's very light on the horror elements, but like it has them, and they're like, when they hit, you're just like, it'll be interesting to see what if Josh ends up watching this, like, because he had migraines and he couldn't like open his eyes, he said. So I want to, we got to give him shit about it next week, but I don't even know. We'll figure out what we're watching next week. It's like, fuck.
Cobweb. Yeah.
Let's do, fuck it. We're doing Cobweb next week. Josh.
Hell yeah. Josh, we're doing Cobweb.
Yeah, it's been on my list anyways to watch, and so it is there. We'll watch that. Cobweb next week. So, anything else before we get out of here, Ken? It's late for you, and I'm, like, getting ready to go on my adventure, so.
All I have is please have a safe, good time. Take pictures.
I will.
Get lots of rest. Do a lot of stupid stuff, but stay safe. And happy birthday.
Thank you, friend. I'll try to stop by your stream on my birthday. I don't know. I may go out to dinner with Zach and Katie on Thursday, but I don't even know. Before that.
Oh, I'm jealous.
But then the next day, I think I'm getting the poodles. So there'll be like six dogs running around in this house for like a week as Zach and Katie go off to Burning Man. So yeah, I'm going to Burning Man next year. Fuck it. I've said it. Fuck it. Okay. Go to murdermoose.com and murdermoosepod on Twitter to do all these things. Go to joshwrb.com and find his shit. Go to continue.com and go to continue on Twitch and find her there as she continues her French page escapades. Yeah. And I'm Rod_Johnston on Twitter and Twitch and all those things. So follow me there. And I think that's about all. So we're doing this way earlier than we usually do. So. Fuck it. Let's go.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you guys next week.
We do it live.
Yes, exactly. For Cobweb. Bye.
Bye.
Fucking A, man.